All right, so if anyone was really paying attention just then when I was reading the gospel, how many of you, be honest, were feeling really encouraged and uplifted and hopeful by all those things Jesus was saying? And if you were, that's amazing. That's actually a beautiful sign. And if you weren't, that's okay as well. It's a really good thing for us whenever we hear the word of God to simply pay attention and be aware, especially of how in our hearts we might feel like we are responding to what we're hearing. Because Jesus is saying some pretty interesting at least, things that can feel hard. Jesus said, you've heard it said that there is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say, offer no resistance to evil. And if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other. If someone goes to law with you over one thing, give him double. If someone presses you into service, give him double. You've heard it said, right? Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I say, love your enemy. Yeah, sure, Lord. Pray for those who persecute you. And then Jesus is really wild. He says, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. And it's usually at that line that I like to respond with one of my favorite things. I'm sure I've talked about this before at one point or another. It's called the non-committal grunt. Yes, I love it. The non-committal grunt is what you do in conversation with someone when they appear to say something either ridiculous or untrue, or they're trying to like bait and switch you and you just don't want to have an argument. And so when they're finished saying whatever it is they've just said, you just go like this. Which is basically saying, I neither agree nor disagree, but I acknowledge what you say, but I'm just not going to respond. Be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Lord, I'm not going to argue with you right now on that, but I don't know. You see, when we hear things sometimes, especially when we hear challenging things from God, right, for us to pay attention to our emotions, to the sentiments of our hearts, especially if we don't feel like we're having a positive reaction to something. We ought not to be afraid of that. It's very common, right? Our natural reaction, we hear a phrase like that, and we just like, yeah, what the heck, man? Because we feel naturally, perhaps, that it's impossible. Nobody can measure up. Nobody can measure up to God. Just be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, and that can bring a cause of discouragement or anxiety or frustration. And if that's you, you know, that's honest, right? That's an okay place to be. The world tends to do funny things, especially with negative emotions. And as Christians, given that we live in the fishbowl of the world, we can have the view that if I feel something negative, my appropriate holy response is to simply get rid of it right now as fast as possible. Oh, I feel guilty when I hear the word of God. I just need to get rid of that feeling of guilt. Oh, I feel discouraged by the word of God. Well, that's clearly not the holy thing to do. I just need to do the opposite. But that's not necessarily the case, right? What it is it's just a place where God is revealing to us where we are, and he wants to enter into that place of grace. It's a lot like this, you know, in our life of faith, when we enjoy the good things of God and when we see his glory, it's very clear to us in encouraging ways, like who God is, who he's made us to be, how he wants to act in the world. All those times in my ministry when I've been able to sit with people and witness like very real, like cathartic reconciliation happen before my eyes, or to pray with someone and to find out that they've been healed of something, or to see them be able to walk back into a difficult situation no longer trapped by whatever sort of judgment or unforgiveness they were dealing with. Like, all of those moments in ministry are extraordinary. I love it. Those are the moments where like, oh yeah, God, you are perfect and you are doing perfect things, and you're bringing all this stuff about. You're helping people not hate their enemies. I'm watching you inspire people to go the extra mile and to see what blessing that comes of that when they go that extra mile. That's awesome. And that's not the hard part. The hard part is when you and I walk into the situations and the circumstances of our lives that don't appear to have a resolution in that moment, where you pray and nothing appears to happen, or you work with someone who's in a really difficult circumstance that's not going to change tomorrow or next week or next month or probably not even next year, maybe not even in 10 years. And maybe that circumstance won't change for the rest of their life. You know, those things you remember as well. And we probably tend to remember those things more easily than we tend to remember the good things. It's always like, right, no news is good news, but when there is news, that's what's memorable, because it's probably not good. So when we have these invitations from Jesus right here in the 5th chapter of Matthew, when he's preaching his Sermon on the Mount, and he comes pretty directly at us, I think one of the things he wants us to do is to pay attention. How do I respond? How do I feel when I hear Jesus say, love your enemy and pray for your persecutors? How do I feel when I hear Jesus say, I want you to be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect? How do you feel when we say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, offer no resistance to what's evil? Those can be much more mysterious things. And we want, what does Jesus want? When Jesus gives us a word, even if it's a word that convicts a certain situation or a certain part of our life, the movement of the Holy Spirit is always, always towards encouragement, consolation, and being built up. Always. This is how the Holy Spirit moves. Because the Holy Spirit moves us closer into communion of God. And even if God, right, is in a place where his grace is moving in a convicting way or for our conversion, even there, when the scriptures speak of God having to chastise those he loves, he's still going to do that in a way that we feel loved. So discouragement, pure and simple, anxiety, pure and simple, fear, pure and simple, these emotions may be simply telling us what our reality is, but we can also be sure that the evil one wants to use those to pull us away from the Lord. And so we are supposed to use those negative emotions usefully and not let them be a way in which we are used by the devil, right? I was dealing with this actually pretty recently, just in some situations in pastoral ministry where I was having to contend with some situations that didn't feel fruitful to me. Some really difficult circumstances in people's lives that were just like, made you want to throw your hands up and say, God, like, what is, this is just not going to change. And when are you going to come to be the Savior, God? You know, those places where there's real suffering, real hurt, real human turmoil, and you're kind of left in the lurch and your heart has to figure out how to deal with it. And it can become, right, not a place simply of natural discouragement or frustration or mystery or wonder, but also even of a kind of temptation to discouragement, a temptation to despair, right? A temptation to believe that God is not all-powerful. And as I was praying through that and asking, bringing that before the Lord, saying, God, tell me something. And he brought me to the story of a priest that you may know who lived in the second half of the 20th century. His name was Father Vincent Capodanno. He's sort of one of those hero stories. He was a religious priest for the Maryknoll Order, and he served as a Navy chaplain for the Marines during the Vietnam War. You know, the Vietnam War, of course, one of those tragic places in human history where lots of death, destruction, suffering, and hardship were going on, and he felt called by God to walk into that and to minister to the Marines in that time. And he was very well known in his time in the military amongst his brother Marines as the Grunt Padre, because everybody knew that wherever they were, that's where he was. And whatever was going on, he always seemed to have an attitude, a sentiment of peace and encouragement and expectation that he could always speak into. Because, of course, they were seeing horrendous things in their life and going through it themselves. And he would always go into battle with them in the midst of the gunfire, unarmed, to treat wounded Marines and to pray the prayers and the anointings of those who were dying on the battlefield. Just a hero of a priest. And as I reflected on this, God invited me to recall again the very end of the story of Father Vincent Capodanno, whose life ended on September 4th, 1967. And on that day, he went with a unit of Marines into battle to relieve a battalion of Marines that were currently, at that moment, being besieged by 2,000 soldiers from North Vietnam. And Father Vincent Capodanno went into battle with those Marines into the thick of that gunfight in order to be light and encouragement and hope and peace where there was nothing before him but destruction and suffering and turmoil and confusion and darkness. And there's a particular story that was told by a Marine who survived that day, who was wounded in battle that day, who was ministered to by Father Capodanno right before he died. And the soldier had been wounded. He was hit in the left arm and was bleeding badly, was in his foxhole wondering whether this was the last moment of his life, scared for his life, that he might not make it out of this foxhole. And he said, all of a sudden, Father Capodanno ran and jumped into my foxhole, and he took hold of this Marine, and he said to him, stay quiet, Marine. You're going to be okay. Someone will be here soon to help you. God is with us all this day. And then he jumped out of that Marine's foxhole into the next foxhole to help the next wounded Marine, where he was met by a machine gun and was shot 38 times and then died there on the spot. And one of the last words in his life, right, man's finest hour, what did he see? In the midst of what appeared to be nothing but failure, destruction, chaos, confusion, suffering, evil, what he saw in that moment was that God is with us all this day. And that's what was guiding him in his ministry in those last moments of his life. That is not a sentiment that comes from the earth, from one's own spirit, or from the evil one. God alone can provide that perspective in the midst of difficult situations. And boy, didn't it make a difference. Made all the difference in the world. After Father Capodanno's death, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for conspicuous heroism above and beyond the call of duty in the face of imminent death. He also earned a Bronze Star and a Purple Heart for that battle. But as I thought about that, I came back to the Lord, who then walked me back into my own situations, my own discouragement in some of these places in my life recently, and he said these words. He said, I promise you, there will be a day. And on that day, and that was his words, those were God's words to me. I promise you, there will be a day. And on that day. And it really convicted me. And it convicted me in a way that brought me extraordinary freedom and removed the discouragement and the frustrations that I were dealing with, because I realized in that moment, in my weakness and my powerlessness and the apparent destruction or suffering of the situation that I had no ability to change, God said, I promise there will be a day when that is answered, when the good that the human heart desires will be made manifest and brought to rest. I promise I am provident. And on that day of my choosing, I will bring healing where healing is needed, because I know what I'm about. I am who am. And on that day, when I bring about my resolution and my glory, then will you have the joy that you seek. You'll have that joy in a way that will never be taken away from you. Because God is with us all this day. And we can trust in that. And so when Jesus comes before us in this day's gospel and speaks words, I think definitely into perhaps the situations of our lives where we may be struggling or feeling discouraged or feeling anxious or feeling fearful or wondering when this is going to change, and maybe it's not going to change, and how am I supposed to make of it? God does not come to discourage you and come to discourage me. When he says, I say to you, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God is not setting a bar and asking you to measure up to that bar. God is setting a mirror before you to show you the truth of who you are and to remind you that you are exactly what he had in mind when he made you. And what he is doing for each of us in our lives of faith is simply returning us to ourselves. And by returning us to ourselves, we will be made perfect, but not in a way of our own making, in a way that God alone can do on that day. So this day, I would pray for us a great spirit of hope and trust. Wherever that is, and either in our life or maybe the life of someone that we know, our friends, the ones that we love, our family, whatever it is, he will do it. He will make you perfect, and he will make me perfect. Not by our own efforts, but by each of us saying, all right, Lord, let it be done. Let it be done. For you are with us all this day, and that day will come. And on that day, we will rejoice.